Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 13, Number 8. In the last edition of Clinical Review, I discussed the significance and multiple benefits of magnesium supplementation. Magnesium is an essential mineral in human nutrition and plays a very important role in nervous system health, muscular growth and function, the regulation of body acid, and in waste management. The best way to get magnesium into the body begins with consuming any green food, as a dual relationship exists between magnesium and chlorophyll. Magnesium is the central atom of chlorophyll, so when you see green, think magnesium and energy. In addition to food, you can also add maybe 200 to 400 to 600 milligrams of magnesium in various forms that are available. Try and focus on a form that is known for optimum absorption, like a citrate or a bisglycinate or some of the other European forms that I've mentioned in previous tutorials. On this edition of SNU, my topic is PSN number 21, energy. Energy is elusive. To me, the word itself is synonymous with life and good health. It's everything about who and what we are. We're all about energy. Understanding energy, including how it's derived and utilized and balanced in relation to qi, or what animates us, whatever you think that is fundamental to the preservation of functional health and wellness. More people complain about fatigue and the sensation of feeling energy drained than anything else. Fatigue and low energy is one of the first symptoms or signs of disease or dis-ease, degeneration and morbidity, especially if the fatigue is constant. So if you're tired all the time, pay attention, wake up. In a study published in the journal Psychotherapy and Psychosomatics in 2008, University of Georgia researchers found that inactive folks who normally complained of fatigue could increase energy by 20% while decreasing fatigue by as much as 65% simply by participating in regular low-intensity exercise. Contrary to popular belief and our general sense of intuition, reminds me of physics. A lot of what's defined as true in physics is non-intuitive. But this one also is similar. Exercising doesn't make you tired. Exercise, when correctly performed, literally creates energy in your body because the body has to rise up to meet the challenge for more energy by becoming stronger. So if you sit around like a lump on a log, you're going to lose and drain and experience deficiency. So you wake up, you run, move, cycle, swim, whatever it is, and all of a sudden more energy is flowing through your veins. Now this happens on a cellular level, and it all begins with tiny organs called mitochondria. Located in our cells, mitochondria work like tiny power plants or furnaces to produce and release energy. Our principal source of body energy comes from the food we eat. That, after all, is why we have to eat food, to get at the energy stored in the food. To me, I look at an apple or a pear or a papaya, it's a container of energy. If you're a gold miner, you have to mine for gold. Whatever it is you're looking for, that's the focus. But the number of mitochondria we have and our ability to produce energy is affected by physical activity also. Not just food, not just energy coming in, but things that happen inside of our body, changes that occur when we get physical. To get more energy, you have to put out, literally, put out physically. For example, the more you exercise aerobically with oxygen, the more mitochondria the body makes to produce more energy to meet the energy demands. For example, the more you exercise aerobically, the more mitochondria the body makes to produce more energy to meet the energy demands. This is just one reason how and why regular cardiovascular exercise actually creates more available energy for your body. We all require air, food, and water to sustain ourselves and survive. That's a given. We could, I suppose, just lie around and do nothing except breathe to get air. But the very process of breathing itself would soon come to an end if we couldn't obtain food and water. It's all connected. You need things to make other things happen, which when happened makes the other things essential. So since the beginning of time, all living organisms have had to move to get the potential energy required to sustain life. And if life and energy are one, then it can all be boiled down to a simple system of give and take and supply and demand. It's nature's system of commerce and balanced economy. Never mind the system of banking and money and economy that man is all about. Focus first on nature's system of commerce. That's the key. That's how you stay well. Understand the dynamics of what it is and how it works. Nature's a dictator. Serve her well. You have to expend energy to get energy, and in the end, your life energy is converted back to all other forms of energy used by nature, used by the system. It's called the circle of life. The acquisition of certain elements such as carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen, or CHON, C-H-O-N, the consumption of macronutrients, also known as carbs, fats, and proteins, the consumption of micronutrients, also known as enzymes, vitamins, and minerals, well, it all adds up to what we experience as energy. Energy is what drives our metabolism. Energy is what provides us with incentive and thought and motivation and action. So we are charged with the obligation as sentient beings to understand what we require from the outside world, as in our environment, to maintain and manage our energy and life process. There are several definitions of energy, such as the exertion of power, or this one I like, the capacity to do work. There are also different types of energy. It all is reduced into a pure energy, but there's different forms. That's how we kind of categorize them as we see them in nature displayed. Kinetic energy, potential energy, chemical energy, radiant energy, and electrical energy, different kinds of energy. But ultimately, energy has to do with producing motion, to affect change, to overcome resistance. Spend some time and check out Einstein's formula of mass energy equivalence on the internet, E equals mc squared. Find out what it really means and try to understand the significance of energy and matter as the same thing. Matter and energy are interchangeable. What that means is that everything that exists is actually the same thing, pure energy. Now, that may seem trivial to you. You might take that for granted, but at one time that wasn't known and it was refuted. Things that are solid are different from other things which are not. And Einstein proved that they're all the same, and that was a paradigm that changed the world's thinking. Energy is almost mystical in the sense that it eludes a concrete definition. Go ahead, try and hold energy that's in the room in your hand. The term implies a dynamic state, a condition of change, because the presence of energy is revealed only when a change takes place. Change is the only constant, therefore energy is everywhere and it exists constantly. The quality of our lives is relative to the quality of our energy experience. Think of automobile waste produced through the combustion of gasoline in the engine. The car moves, but the waste produced that we see as exhaust from the tailpipe causes damage to the car, to ourselves, to the environment. Over time, the waste produced as a byproduct of producing movement actually damages the pistons in the engines. The same truth is self-evident in our own cells. The higher our fuel quality, the better we can utilize and burn it. Fuel efficiency is definitely a factor in health. Superior fuel efficiency generates less oxidation, less free radical activity, and ultimately less damage in our bodies. Throw some antioxidants, keep the environment well hydrated, respiration is up and efficient. I mean, it's just almost impossible to create disease in a body that is functioning properly. Respiration depends on oxygen consumption. The system that evolved over millions of years and which is set up genetically is not a perfect system. It doesn't yield zero exhaust. There's a damage component to life, to breathing oxygen. And that damage, identified as free radicals that cause damage to DNA mitochondria cells, equates over time to inflammation, cell damage, and loss of form and function. Energy is supplied to all cells, including muscle cells, by ATP, generated from carbs, fats, and proteins. The unit of energy in the cells is called adenosine triphosphate. The acronym is ATP. The body has four methods to create ATP, and basically they vary by speed and whether they burn oxygen or not. So here they are. The first method is called aerobic or cellular respiration. The energy our body requires just to live, to do everyday activities and cardio exercise, such as long distance running, is generated by a sugar burning process, glucose, in the cells known as aerobic respiration. While this process yields more energy than the anaerobic systems, it is also less efficient and can only be used during lower intensity activities. The second method is called anaerobic respiration. This is effective for vigorous exercise for 1 to 3 minutes, such as a short sprint. If the intensity of exercise requires more energy than can be supplied by the available oxygen, our body will partially burn glucose. Without oxygen, waste increases. This is called anaerobic respiration. It's the waste that gets in the way of cell function. That's why eventually we have to shut down and stop and rest. The third method is called beta oxidation. This is the slowest system, and it's too slow for energy production during intense exercise, but it's great for long-term low-intensity movement. Fats consist of a glycerol backbone with 2 to 3 fatty acids connected to it. The body absorbs these fats and then breaks off the fatty acids from the glycerol. The fatty acids are then broken down to 2 carbon units and then converted to acetyl-CoA, which then enters the Krebs cycle to produce energy. I go into a lot more detail on this in Module 2. The fourth method is called ATP phosphocreatin, which is the fastest way to generate energy. When energy needs to be generated as quickly as possible, as in brief bursts, like an emergency, running after the bus, or being chased by a T-Rex, the body relies directly on the energy stored inside the cell, which is small and runs out quickly. The fastest way to grab another phosphate to convert ADP to ATP is to take it from creatine phosphate, creating a little extra ATP for a short period of time to make the energy inside the cell last a little longer. This is why athletes use creatine as a supplement. It's all about energy, baby. Short, sharp, explosive bursts of energy of exercise rely principally on the ATP phosphocreatin system. It doesn't require oxygen, but is very limited to short periods of explosive exercise, such as a sprint or heavy demanding sets in weightlifting. So there's your four different types of energy production. The first system is called aerobic respiration. The second system or method, anaerobic respiration. The third method, beta oxidation, otherwise known as fat burning. And finally, the fourth method is called ATP phosphocreatin. If you can memorize those and just generally dispense that to your clients, it will help them understand why you're getting them to do different forms of exercise. Energy is critical to human motivation. In fact, human motivation is what it's all about, because if you're not motivated to look after yourself, to do the work of health, such as prepare food, work out, practice decent hygiene, take the garbage out, do the work that needs to be done to stay well. This is what I'm talking about. If you're not motivated to do this work that it takes to stay well, to ward off disease, to build strength, if you're not motivated to do that, then you're either in trouble right now or you soon will be, because nobody gets a pass. Nature is not prejudiced. You ignore her, she'll bring you down. She doesn't care how much money you make, whether or not you're part of some royal family or you're born in Canada. She doesn't care. Those people who can't or won't do it for themselves are going to be in trouble, because optimum health, including the work it takes to be well, is something nobody can do for us A strong man, a strong woman, cannot make a weak woman, a weak man strong. They've got to make themselves strong. We can guide them, we can advise them, we can motivate them, we can challenge them, we can lure them in, but they have to do the work. We have to do the work on our own, and we need energy to do the work. Because as we've already learned, energy is the capacity to work. And if you want to change yourself, it's going to take energy. You know, never mind about the world and trying to save it. Focus on yourself. Make the necessary changes that you need to make in your own life, in your own head. It's going to take energy. It's going to take work. And if you're not prepared to do the work, you're not going to see any change. You're just going to continue running on that treadmill, going nowhere fast. This is why energy is so critical and important to understand. To generate heat in your log cabin in the middle of winter, you need to burn wood. But you can't burn wood unless you first chop down a tree, then buck it up into smaller chunks, and finally split the wood with an axe to expose the inner core. What does that take? It takes drive, motivation, by necessity, because if you don't get the wood, you're going to die. You're going to freeze to death. What a great motivation. What are you doing in your life that is motivated from necessity or desire? And is what you're doing constructive or destructive to you as an individual, with all things in mind? So which comes first, the matter that supplies the energy or the energy that supplies the matter? You decide. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Aristotle, Greek philosopher and scientist, born in 384 BCE. The energy of the mind is the essence of life.